Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Exodus 32 as we continue to study church music. And music is an important thing to study. We've studied about the church. We've studied about doctrines. We've studied about the things that how a local church is supposed to function be decent and in order. And now we're looking at music. We've been looking at music for several weeks now. And so we're going to continue to look at this topic. And I think there's going to be some very interesting things said tonight. And I am going to be cautious as we read through these things because of the ages of the people in the room. But it's still a reality. Okay, so we're going to be made aware of some things that are going to, if they don't shock you, you've already heard them before, and you were shocked when you heard them the first time. So it may not be as shocking the second time, but it's going to be shocking because it is shocking, and it should be known that way. But if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently. I'm going to begin in verse 15 of Exodus chapter 32. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides. On the one side and on the other, were they written. And the tables were the work of God. And the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. When Joshua heard the noise of the people, as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for the for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and break them beneath the mount. Last week we talked about vain repetitions, okay? And we talked about how the whole idea of vain repetitions, both as far as a musical sequence, or if you will, musical sequence and words, or just musical sequence or words, or whatever the case may be, the whole point of it is to turn off our thinking. Okay, the devil wants us to be amoral type beings, right? Non-thinking. To have amusement, right? No morality, no thinking. The devil doesn't like morality, and the devil doesn't like thinking. All right? He just wants us to respond, right? Do what you feel, right? Just react. By the way, reacting is never good, okay? Have a planned outcome, all right? How many of you, when you hurt yourself, you often shout out, right? There's pain, there's suffering, weeping and gnashing of teeth, all those things, right? Okay? I didn't have the most controlled environment as a teenager, as a young person, and unfortunately, I developed some wrong friendships and wrong relationships in high school, and where a Christian home kid, a church-going kid, developed a taste for cursing. Okay, that's bad. All right? And I unfortunately learned those words and spoke that way. That's not how to speak, right? That's not how to talk. That's not right. But can I tell you something? Old habits are hard to break. Now, your pastor doesn't go around cussing. I just want you to know that, okay? But you have to plan. Because sometimes when you're in pain, you don't think, right? And so you have to plan. If you hit your thumb, I just yell, ow, as loud as I can. That's my thing. And I planned to do that. Because if I don't plan to do it, I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth. Okay, do you understand? So we need to think about things, not just feel, not just act or react, if you will. That's not how it needs to be. So The devil's trying to shut our thinking off. He's trying to shut our morality off. And vain repetition, both words, rhythm, and the sequence of the notes, turns off our brains. All right, we talked about that last time. Now, we know that there are different types of music that do that. And that's the purpose of those types of music. And we talked about those last week. We also talked about that the plan of Satan, because he is a master of music, he was created that way. We looked at it at Ezekiel chapter 28. Satan's plan is for you not to fulfill God's plan for your life. His plan is for this world not to fulfill the things that God has for it to fulfill. His plan for music is for music not to fulfill what God created music for. And so you understand, that's the devil's plan. His plan is that the things that God has created not to do the things that God created them for. Now let me just emphasize this a little bit more. In our world today, God doesn't want men to do what, I'm sorry, not God. The devil doesn't want men to do and be what God created man to be. You understand that? So the devil's trying to change the role of man. He wants man not to do what man's created to do. And man to, he doesn't want man to be what God created man to be. And just the same, God created woman, and God created man, and the devil doesn't want woman to be what God created a woman to be, and to do what God created for a woman to do. You understand, that's the devil's plan. So whatever it may be, God has a plan, God has a purpose for the creation, God has a purpose for that thing, and the devil doesn't want that to take place. That's a fundamental thing. Can I tell you something? Everyone under the sound of my voice, God has a plan for your individual life. And the devil doesn't want you to accomplish it. It's that simple. This is a very simple principle. Why would music, which is a creation of God, be anything different? And the simple truth is, it's not. So we've got to understand that this is the devil's plan. He's a deceiver. He's a manipulator. And your flesh is a tool that he wants to use against God. Okay, so he's going to manipulate you. He's going to try to turn you against God and against what God created you to do and to be. Bottom line. Now, if you look at music, these types of music, rock, country, hip-hop, southern gospel, pop, rhythm and blues, gospel, CCM, praise and worship, new age, jazz, funk, soul, whatever. Okay? All of these music, they manipulate what music was designed to do and to be. All of them do. They manipulate the music. Do you know that there is a natural rhythm of life? In nature, there's a natural rhythm to things. Okay? So, when you have in music or in rhythm and just walking about things, okay, there's it's just kind of a natural thing. You hear that? One, three. There's a natural rhythm to that. There's a natural harmony in our world. There's natural things that God has created, just the way things are. If you listen to birds, if you listen to insects, if you listen to the natural world, if you listen to the rain, if you listen to the
there's a natural thing to all this stuff. And the music that man has created manipulates that. It changes the natural use of things. And we need to pay attention to these types of things. Now, these types of music are designed to appeal to your flesh. Let me just tell you this. If the music that you're listening to makes you bounce or sway or bob and weave or however you want to say it, that is pleasing your flesh. Right, that was just weird me doing that, wasn't it? Okay? Yeah. That's not something that I'm supposed to participate in. You understand that Moses got down from the mount and he says, no, Joshua, this is not the shouting of the mastery or the crying out for being overcome of the battle. This is the voice of them that sing that I hear. And when he got into plain sight, he saw the dancing. Oh, pastor, there you go again. This thing of dancing, you Baptists and dancing, what's wrong with you? Nothing's wrong with us. Can I tell you something? The movement of your flesh matters. And if it moves your flesh, it's not the right kind of music. Because your flesh is supposed to be crucified. Your flesh is supposed to be under subjection. Okay? Paul says, I keep my body, right? So you understand, folks, the devil is going to try to manipulate things. And listen, just look at the world. Just notice. What do they use music for, everyone? It's to please the flesh. They want to go out to the club and have a good time. They want to move their body, right? They want to shake things that shouldn't be shaken. And again, I'm going to tread carefully, I promise you. But do you understand? That's what they feel the purpose of music is. And it's not. And if your music makes your body do that, it's not the right kind of music. We've got to wake up, Christians. Stop being deceived. Open your eyes. Open your minds. Notice what God wants us to notice about music. The devil is the master deceiver. He's the master manipulator. And he wants to turn God's creation against God. That's his plan. And so these are the things that we were looking at. I read to you some of the performers and people, composers, what they said about music. And we're going to get into a lot more of those tonight. But I want you to understand something. These types of music, these manipulations of rhythms and of note sequences are designed to appeal to your flesh. They may or may not have good words. You realize that, right? Okay. Now, the degree and manner that these different types of music affect you does differ. Some are extremely effective and some are subtly effective. You understand that? The devil uses different levels of effectiveness because he's dealing with different levels of people. Right? There are some people, maybe today, that if the devil jumped out in a red suit with horns and a pitchfork and said, "Oh, I'm the devil, worship me," they probably would. But if he did that to you or I, we'd punch him in the face. Right? You understand? So he's going to use a different level of subtlety to try to get us. Why do you think? He said, "Oh, pastor, I would never listen to death metal." That's a type of music, by the way, if you didn't know. "Oh, because that's wicked. But you know, soft rock, that's my groove. You know, that's my jam." Is that what your kids say these days? I'm sorry. Right? Hello? Or no, country, that's where I'm at. You know? And I, like I said, I told you last week, I like to play my country music backwards because you get your car back, your house back, your life back, your, you know, money back. You get everything back if you play country music backwards. Now, you see, I'm a complex soul. So, you know, jazz and blues, that's what I like. Soothes the soul, man. You know? Did I get that okay? I'm into New Age. You laugh a little bit, but hey, hello. There's all kinds. But they're all manipulations of what God has designed. We read through and looked at some of these verses last week about man. Paul said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Don't trust the flesh. You understand that the flesh, Galatians says, lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things ye would. Then we talked about the devil, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Christians, church members, stop being ignorant concerning music. Now, back to the rhythms. The natural rhythms in 4-4 are 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4. Does 1-2-3-4, does that make you want to move your body? No. Maybe march, right? 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4. That works. What about this? 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3. Does that make you want to sway and bounce and bop and all those things? No. But the manipulation comes when you have backbeat or manipulated rhythms. You have 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4. That's a whole different thing. Or 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3. You see, it's off of what God has created naturally. So we have to realize that if we study music theory, if we study music about how the design and how music naturally exists, right? We're going to understand the rhythms and the things that God has designed to, if you will, work with this spirit and the soul, not the things that work with the flesh. And we have to realize that God has an order of things. The rock beats or back beats or other rhythms, a driving rhythm, these are manipulation. Sometimes in a vain and repetitious matter, is it properly ordered? Does it have good and right words? This is a kind of a music checklist. Does it have a sensual tone of voice? Does it remind you of a wrong place or a wrong action? Does it appeal to your rebellious and fleshly nature? And does it make you wonder whether or not it's right? Because, you know, that gray area is kind of a difficulty, you know? Now, take your Bibles and turn over to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. I hope you understand that I kind of reviewed a little bit and went a little bit further in the explanation. But I feel like I have to do this because what we've been taught about music is backwards. And it's upside down. And I've been talking with some people about this, and I'm still not a completely, I think I'm on the right track, but I'm still not completely done searching this out. But this has to do with the incorrect use of God's creation of music. We've got to be careful to use what God created music, to use it for what God created it for. Because if we don't, then we're just as bad as the devil. Because he misuses God's creation all the time. So you're there in 1 Corinthians 10, look at verse 31. Paul says, "Whether therefore ye eat
or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. My wife, she chose a theme for next year, Psalm 90. Go over there, Psalm 90, and at verse 2, is it, dear? I think. This is a great verse. And I want you to notice what this new song that God put in the mouth of the psalmist. Oh, that's not it. Where is it? Okay. Well, he put a new song in my mouth, it says. And the rest of it that says, it says, even praise to our God. Is it 91? 40. Why did I say 90? I don't know. Okay, 40, 90, they look the same, right? In my mind, they do. Because, you know, when I write a 4, sometimes my 4 gets a little curvy on the top, and sometimes when I write a 9, it's a little bit open. So a 4 can look like a 9, a 9 can look like a 4. Right, math teacher? That can happen. Yeah, it can. Shouldn't, but can. All right, look at verse, 40, verse 3. And he hath put a new song in my mouth. Well, what's the song? Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. That's the right purpose of music, folks. And so we've got to realize that this is what needs to happen. Now, as we transition, I'm going to use the last... Oh, goodness, I'm doing great. Okay. Hallelujah. I only have 3 pages of notes left, so you guys are turning out really good here. When you want to understand something, go back to the beginning of it. Go back to the origins of things. There's a thing that we use in Bible study called the law of first mention. It's important to look at the first time something is mentioned in the Bible and to kind of get an idea. Now, does it always apply? Not necessarily always, but most of the time it does. And it's a good start anyways, all right, to look at why God put that thing there, and at that point in time, for that reason, search it out. That's just a good idea, right? That's very extremely logical. So if we're going to do that with things in the Bible, let's look back at this thing of the wrong kind of music. I want you to listen to something out of the Bible here in 2 Corinthians. Paul says, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Okay, do you understand that, right? So there's supposed to be a, there, and by the way, there's a difference between the profane, right? You understand that? There's a difference between the things of God and the things of this world. And I don't know why music has always been the exception to that difference. It shouldn't be. It's not supposed to be. Why would God set all these other differences up and then music doesn't have any differences? I don't think he would. That's not who and how God is. I want you to listen to this. This is from David Townsend. He's a music historian. Mr. Townsend says this: all you really need to know about the origin of rock and roll music is that it began with slavery. That's the origins. Slavery in America is more than a coarse, dark stain on the canvas of history. It is the primary method by which Satan injected his type of music into the very heart of America, thereby structuring and hastening her demise. Now, my good friend John Early discovered that in his studies of music. I want you to understand that these kinds of manipulations, they have ties back to that African culture. And I told you this story before. There's a story of a missionary who is reaching tribes in Africa for the Lord. And he went on furlough. He came back to the United States. While they were traveling here in the United States, they picked up some more modern music. modern Christian music. And they picked it up and they ended up going back to Africa, back to the people that they were reaching. And his children were innocently playing this music in their home. And the people in the tribe, they heard it and they came to the missionary and simply said, "Pastor, missionary, why are you playing the devil's music in your home?" They said, "These are the things that we used to participate with when we were worshiping the devil. The rhythms, the sequences." Folks, this is a real thing. And these people weren't being critical. They weren't being picky about the missionary and what they had heard what they heard, folks. And let me tell you, there's a reason why I'm a little more picky than some, because I came out of all that junk. I grew up with all the Christian rock bands. I grew up with all the secular rock bands and pop and hip hop and jazz and rap and R&B and all of it. I even listened to country. Horrible. I mean, maybe in Texas that's real to you guys, but to a North Dakota farm boy, that is a little different. And I can hear it. I can hear it. And when I hear it in our types of churches, I just go like this. It's not how it's supposed to be. And we got to listen. We got to wake up. Blues. Listen to this about blues. A vocal instrumental form of music that is based on the use of what's called a blue note. A blue note is a call and response, a changing of a pattern of the music and lyrics, and it's indicative of African influence. So there's a lot of manipulation of the note to give it that blues sound, and it's a cool sound. No, it really is. I'm not making fun. That's what they call it. By the way, I don't like to always get into my history too much, but I was in something called a swing choir. We would sing and dance like a performance kind of thing. And it was, you know, a lot of rhythm and blues and jazz and, you know, things like the Charleston, made in Carolina. You know, that's way old. Okay, but maybe we did things like that and those types of things. But can I tell you something? That's not the right kind of music, and it's not the right purpose of music. Jazz music, created primarily by African Americans in the late 19th and 20th century. By the way, these are not, if you will, racial remarks of any sort. This is history, folks. If you take a music history class, these are the things that you'll learn. I can get the textbooks and I can show them to you. It's in American music history from secular universities. And by the way, they're proud of all this. They're not trying to hide it from anybody. Primarily by in the 19th and 20th century, through here's a college word for you. An amalgamation of elements drawn from European, American, and tribal African music. Among its distinctive characteristics are the use of improvisation, bent pitches, or those blue notes, swing, and polyrhythms. The name jazz comes now from a defunct word, jazz, which means the physical act between a man and a woman. And again, I'm altering some of these comments because they're a bit more crude than I wish to share. Do you all understand what I'm talking about? So if this is the origin of such, why are we putting Christian words to it and calling it good church music? And I just want to say, frankly, are you serious? That's okay? No, it's not. You say, "Oh, the origins of it don't matter." Oh, really? It don't? I think it does. I think it matters a lot. Jazz music was mainly developed for use in places where those types of things took place? Because these houses of ill repute, let's call them. Again, I'm trying to tread carefully. It's hard. By the way, there's lots of good books I can suggest, but I'm going to tell you they're graphic. They talk about the origins of music. Maybe that's what some people need to be woken up. I don't know. What's the right word to say? Wake up. these places would try to outclass each other by having the best jazz band. And guess what the best jazz band produced? More physical interactions. Okay, I think that's enough said. Storyville, which is a red light district in New Orleans, was where recently freed slaves were first legally permitted to perform their voodoo and tribal African dance rituals. This wicked district promoted religious and cultural inclusion instead of biblical and spiritual conversion. A lack of personal and responsibility and morality gave way to a collective wickedness and immorality. And guess what was at the center of all of it? The music. During the Great Depression, jazz and its mother, rhythm and blues, were having their effect on America. Right? Actually, I just kind of illustrated that a little bit. Charleston. Okay. Using music as an escape became widespread. Escape from what? Thinking and morality. Hello? What's the devil trying to get us to do? Escape any moral accountability we have toward God and any kind of rational accountability we have toward God. It's an escape. I just want to get away. By the way, what do people say when they say about their listen? It just helps me get away, right? It just helps me get my mind off of things. Maybe God doesn't want your mind to be off of things. You've heard what I said about Saul. God sent the evil spirit to Saul on purpose. And I don't think he wanted it to be relieved. So, manipulation. The music's ability to take one away from present circumstances became the mainstream idea and use of music. When? Late 1800s, early 1900s. And listen, go back and try to find things that were composed before 1900 and find things that were composed after 1900. It changed. The rhythms changed. The harmonies changed. The sequences of the melody changed. Music changed. Music and its ability, all that stuff became mainstream. Rock and roll began in America around the 1950s. The term rock and roll refers again to the physical relationship. And I just want you to know this, and I'll be very careful. This origin of this idea and this word and this sequence of words, rock and roll, was talking about the movement of cars in places like that were called Lover's Lane. I'll just give you this. That's it. You adults understand what I'm talking about. If that's what the name comes from, why are we putting Christian words to it, everybody, and calling it okay? Origins matter. Elvis Presley, you've heard of him. Amazing Grace. Do you like that? Is that a good Elvis impression? Decent. Okay. Guess what he was very instrumental in doing? Bridging the gap between jazz, rhythm and blues, and rock and roll. You all know history. Many of you experienced what Elvis accomplished and Jerry Lee Lewis accomplished in this country. Those were two of the main guys that had a hand in kind of marrying these things and progressing this thing along from rhythm and blues to jazz to what we now have as rock and roll. Listen to this. Mr. Shaw wrote that Mr. Presley
impressed them as the visual and oral embodiment of the physical display of what rock and roll was all about. And let me just tell you something. If you know those two characters in history, that's what they embodied. Hello? Elvis Presley prepared the country for the entrance of groups like the Beatles and others. Listen to what Mr. Lennon said. You know him, John Lennon? Nothing really affected me until I heard Elvis. If there hadn't been an Elvis, there wouldn't have been the Beatles. John Lennon said that. He said, if I wouldn't have heard Elvis sing, I wouldn't have developed the music that I developed. Wow. Again, another quote from the Beatles. Our music is capable of causing emotional instability, disorganized behavior, rebellion, and even revolution. They knew it! And what did it bring to America? Exactly that. Here's a quote by God. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Mr. Spencer Dryden of a group called Jefferson Airplane. I want to see if anybody's listening ears perked up there. He said this. Get them while they're young. We can bend their minds with music. Folks, these composers and authors and singers, they knew what they were involved in. And this is the origins of what we're allowing come into our churches through the guise of Christian music. Why? Why are we allowing that? God says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Right? Don't leave young people to themselves. They'll bring a mother to shame. Jan Berry of Jan and Dean, associated with the Beach Boys. The throbbing beat of rock provides a physical release for the adolescent audience. And can I tell you something? The adolescent teenage audience doesn't need to develop that sense. God says that's reserved for marriage. Why are we allowing the devil to use music to develop that sense in our young people? Shouldn't be developed. Okay, I gotta keep going. God says, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Folks, what's some of the problem with our young people today? Is we're allowing them to develop desires they should not be allowing. There are things we're allowing kids to... how many of you have heard this? Oh, my little girls are boy crazy, or my little boys are girl crazy. Why? Why? Why are you allowing that? Why are you allowing that development of it? Shame on you, moms and dads. You know what that's going to lead to, don't you? Yeah, called teenage pregnancy. It's a bad thing. That's not supposed to be developed till later. You know, I should only be crazy about one woman. Hi. And she should only be crazy about one man. Hi. That's it. But yet we allow things like music to develop that. And you say, oh, music doesn't develop that. Are you not listening to me? These are historical documents. This is history. And the music industry knows it. And yet Christians are like, music is all moral. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little mockery right now. Really, Christians? No. It does matter. God does have a purpose. God does have an order for music. Anybody heard of a group called Grand Funk Railroad? Oh, I heard a yep. Okay. Donnie Brewer, I guess, was a member of this group. He said this: we take kids away from their parents and their environment to where only the reality is the rhythm and the beat. Folks, they know what they're doing. Here's a more modern one, I think. Christina Aguilera. Recognize that name? 90s, right? No, 2000s? Older? 90s? Okay. I was still in high school then. I wasn't into that genre, but I think I got that right. Here's what she said. I'm not really religious, but very spiritual. I give money to this company that manufactures hearing aids on a regular basis. More people should really hear me sing. I have a gift from God. Wow. God says, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Let's see here. John Lennon again. You want to hear another one from him? He said, Christianity will go. It will vanish. It will shrink. I needn't argue with that. I'm right and I will be proved right. We're more popular than Jesus. Wow. They really believe that, folks. Rock music is a greater influence over the souls of men than primitive Christianity. Who wants to guess what singer-songwriter said that? John Denver. Y'all know him. A lot of these other ones have to do with that physical thing we talked about. They say it's all about that. I'm into it. I'm into rock music for that and narcotics, Mr. Glenn Frey of the Eagles said. The physical act between a husband and wife or man and woman is where it's at in music, and I like it, and I want more of it. Johnny Bristol, singer-songwriter of Motown. I'm just telling you, folks, it's just drenched in this stuff. And that's the origins of what we're allowing into our churches through the guise of Christian music. And all I really have to say is, why? Why? Are we that naive? Do we really think it doesn't matter? You say, well, Pastor, we're only letting a little bit of it in. A little bit? How about none of it? Paul said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. How about we just do what Elijah said? Choose you this day. Who's God? And folks, we've got to realize, go back to Exodus just real quick. Listen to what, look what Moses did. Moses didn't have anything good to say or do about this existence. And by the way, let me just tell you something. It's not just, if you will, back to the African cultures that this comes from. They were doing it here in Exodus. And Moses said, no, this ain't happening. Let me just tell you something. I don't think you realize how severe what Moses did. I don't think we realize how severe what Moses did. We don't realize how severe it was. Did you notice the description as I read to you what he was carrying in his hands? These tables of God, they were written by God. They were the work of God. The writing was the writing of God. Whoa! Really cool artifacts. And Moses was so angry And what he was seeing and hearing, he broke them. Now, he paid for that later. But do you realize? And yet we stand by and say, well, it's just the music of today. No. No, it's not just the music of today. It shouldn't come anywhere near our ears or our homes or our churches or our children or our families. We need to be mad about it. And he was mad about it. And it came to pass as he, look at verse 19, as soon as he saw, came nigh unto the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing. Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf that they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it into powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou brought so great sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief, because, you know, Aaron wasn't one of them. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what was become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me, and I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. Woo! Amazing. Yeah. Look at verse 25. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. And Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side and go in and out from the gate throughout the camp and slay every man his brother and every man his companion and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. Oh, that was about the worship of other gods. Not just that, but also what they were doing. And music was involved. Folks, we've got to wake up. We need to open our ears and open our eyes. And folks, I just want so bad for you to understand. The music of this world is exceedingly sinful. It's exceedingly wicked. And we got to start getting mad about it a little bit. And we just got to shout out, no. No. And listen, some of you are like me. You have heard that music. You listen to it as a young person, as a teenager, as a young adult. Maybe. And you know what it sounds like. And if you hear it in your church, just stand up and say, no! It shouldn't be in our homes. It shouldn't be in our kids' ears. It's not the purpose of it. It's a manipulation. The devil's trying to deceive. Look back to the origins. And that's why, one of the reasons why we've trying to stick as close as we can to our hymn books. When you decide on a song, don't just sing it because, oh, this church sings it, or this church sings it, or I heard Brother Combs sing it. Don't go by that. Go back and look at the origins. Who wrote it, and how did they sing it? Because if they didn't sing it right, they probably didn't have the right intentions to start with. So why do you want it in your ears? Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. For your Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear.